Reverend clergy, brothers and sisters, Christ is in our midst.
Never shall be.
We're on the annual journey from Pascha to Pentecost, and the theme that I look for in the Gospels and the Epistles is, how does the power that raised Christ from the dead possibly get into the life of a person like me? Today's Gospel has much to say on it. In fact, it's you could make a whole soap opera out of this story involving the poor blind man and the people who are hassling him and hassling one another over a simple and wonderful miracle that Christ does. So I'd like to take four snapshots out of this soap opera drama that we just heard read by Deacon, and hope that we can see ourselves in at least one of them today. And I think if you're like me, you're going to see yourself in two, three, four. So snapshot number one is the moment when the disciples notice the blind man and they say to Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born like this?" They were stuck in their need to have insight, perhaps to show off as disciples of Christ how they really got the way that God worked and the world worked. So which one is it? And Jesus has to take them down a peg or two or three in public and say, "Neither one, fellas, you got it wrong again. It's just so that God's work would be done." Second snapshot I want to take is when Jesus spits on the ground at the feet of the stranger, makes some mud, slaps it on his eyes, tells him to go wash it off down the street in the pool. Can you imagine that happening? Of course, it wouldn't happen on a sidewalk, but you're walking down a trail and some stranger does that. A very dramatic moment. Third snapshot is all the back and forth. The Pharisees hassling the blind man. The neighbors gossiping with quarreling with each other and with his parents. "Is this the guy who looks like him?" And the poor blind man in the middle. And he and the Pharisees get so mad at each other in the end that they kick him out of the synagogue. That's snapshot number three. Snapshot number four. After all the thunder and lightning, after all the drama and the noise, the sound and the fury, it's just Jesus and the blind man, the formerly blind man. So what do these four snapshots have to teach us about our spiritual life and how the power of God that raises Jesus from the dead gets into the lives of people like you and me? Snapshot number one, I think, gives us a glimpse of the apostles, the disciples, doing the very same thing that you and I often do. And that's living by a religious voice in our heads, combined with our egotistical need to seem like we know something or that we've advanced somehow beyond where we really are. We love to impress people. We hope, maybe even foolishly, to impress God. So the disciples pipe up like this, and they have to be taken down. Instead of just simply walking with God, saying our prayers, living the life of the church, loving the people who God has put in front of us. And sometimes we're not all that lovely to love, are we? Using the gifts that God has given us, we try to be something that we're not or appear to be to others. There's that desperate need to impress others with something that isn't really there. See yourself in that portrait? I do. Snapshot number two, when Jesus spits on the ground and makes the mud and slaps it in the... It's surprising. I mean, can you imagine? It surprised the blind man for sure, but everybody else is wondering, what is this? But it works. What humility it took for the blind man to accept the fact that the stranger spit on the ground and wiped dirt in his eyes. And what obedience. To just go down to the pool and wash. I mean, nobody had ever heard of that happening before, right? It's not like it was an established form of therapy by any means. And yet it worked. Humility and obedience work for us. But sometimes we try to skip those two things. As I was preparing this homily, you know what I thought of? A time I went to Father Mel for confession years ago, and I'm not going to tell you how many years ago. He said, you need to do prostrations when you do your daily prayers. Guess what I didn't do? Prostrations. Guess what I started doing this week as I prepared this sermon? I started doing daily prostrations. And I invite you to check me up later on, in a couple of weeks or a month, to see if I am showing the humility of listening to what Father Mel told me and the obedience to do it. The life of the church is pretty simple, but sometimes we think we're a little too smart or a little too busy or a little too whatever to do that. Snapshot number three. In fact, this is maybe a group of snapshots, you know, all the different quarrels that are breaking out, neighbors versus family, parents versus the synagogue rulers, Pharisees versus the poor man, the blind man. And they're all arguing and bothering each other, just like a bunch of talking heads on TV. Did you notice this week when that tragedy unfolded in Texas, when all those poor school children were killed, how quickly the politicians retreated, you know, to their favorite spots and were shooting at each other? Back and forth, trying to put the blame on the other party. People with different political or spiritual or even moral views than they did. And how completely that took over the dialogue. I was riding my bike down Westcliff this week, and the whales are migrating, and so it often drives anchovies into the bay. They're hiding, they try to hide from the whales. And they come into the shore, and there's no place they can't go any farther. Well, I was riding my bike along by the lighthouse, and I hear this tremendous noise. And it's seals barking at the top of their lungs. And I thought it was the seals out on the rock, you know, that little rock where the seals perch just off the lighthouse. No, they were in the shallow water right at the beach. Barking at each other and eating like mad. The anchovies were there, and they were. I don't know if they were bragging to each other or trying to warn the other seals off. Hey, that's my fish. There were birds swirling around, squawking and making noise. It was a real spectacle, and so there I said I stopped, of course, and I had to watch it. And when I went back to this gospel, it reminded me of all these people squawking and barking at each other in the gospel. The Pharisees, missing the point. God has done a miracle. A blind man who suffered all his life, now he can see. What is God trying to approach? And instead, they get into their favorite positions and they start arguing this and that. And all the, any joy, any light, any insight that they might have gotten vanished, just like those the birds and the barking seals. Do we ever get into those places ourselves? I heard a lot of barking during the COVID, the height of the COVID era and dispute. Didn't you? I heard a lot of barking during the election cycles the last few times. A lot of squawking of birds and noise. A lot of distraction from what God is really doing. And snapshot number four tells us where we're meant to wind up. With all the voices silenced, the noisemakers have gone their way, other things have drawn them up. And it's just Jesus and the man. Do you believe in the Son of God? Jesus asks him. The man says, and who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. How wonderful if we can get to snapshot number four. From our blindness, from hearing people give simplistic solutions that don't work, like the disciples did and were contradicted by Jesus. How wonderful if we can get past the stage of humble obedience that takes us to confessing our sins to other sinners, over and over again, the same ones, but making progress as we do. and taking communion, and asking in fervent prayer that God will, in fact, take away our blindness. Snapshot number three, learning to ignore all the talking heads and all the noise on the internet. Doesn't your phone oppress you? I have a dumb phone, as most of you know, and so I can't do any internet on it. But my iPad oppresses me. But those of you who have the smartphone, doesn't it oppress you with so many opinions, as if the TV and the radio didn't do enough? We need to just let all those voices go, at least put ourselves on a diet, so that we're not distracted from the one thing needful that the Scripture and the Orthodox Fathers tell us, and that is to complete our repentance and to enter more fully into communion with God. Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. May we wind up that portrait, that snapshot number four, together, and go forward into God's kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.